Hello and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Comparative 12 Steps Study Group. My name is Diana, and I'm a compulsive overeater and the facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This group does allow crosstalk, but please make sure it's supportive.
We will be reading 8 versions of the step, the OA traditional, free thinker, Buddhist, Cleveland/atheist, humanist, practical, proactive, and SOS, secular organization for sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link. Please take a turn reading a version of the step and say pass when you are finished. I'll call on hands in the order raised. Holly.
Step 5 versions, OA principles, integrity. Step 1 is traditional OA, admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Free thinker, admitted to ourselves without reservation and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Okay. Buddhist, admitted to ourselves and another human being the exact moral nature of our past.
Damn.
Cleveland, we'll talk to another person about our exact nature. And that comes from the Alternative 12 Steps, A Secular Guide to Recovery by Martha Cleveland and Arlish G., 2nd edition, 2014. Humanist, we ask our friends to help us avoid those situations. B.F. Skinner, 1987. Practical, shared our lists with a trusted person. From staying sober without God, the practical 12 steps to long-term recovery from alcoholism and addictions by Jeffrey Munn, 2021. Pass.
Okay. Jenny.
Proactive. I explore these patterns and describe them to another person, noticing the healing power of compassionate listening. SOS. I admit to myself, and if I choose, to another person or persons, the exact nature of the negative, injurious aspects of my thinking and behavior. I explore the goodness within myself, the positive, courageous, and compassionate.
Okay, we are now open for discussion about the steps. What does step 5 mean to you, and what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share handout is in the chat if you'd like to continue looking at the steps during the discussion. Who would like to begin? And Jenny, you have your hand up.
You know, so many of these are just focused on like the negative things, the exact nature of our wrongs and all that. I guess when I was going through step 5, I did have wrongs, I guess, but it was a lot of shame and I had shame about things that had happened. And that wasn't always because I had done something wrong. And so, you know, reading about this, it makes me just feel bad, you know, when they're talking about just like the moralistic parts of it, I guess, the exact moral nature of our past. I really do like the proactive ones where it says, I explore these patterns and describe them to another person, noticing the healing power of compassionate listening. That was what this step was really about for me. It was, you know, after doing step 4, sharing all the things that I'd been hanging on to and being able to tell someone about them and a compassionate listener. And it really made a difference to have this person be someone who, you know, it had my same shared life experience as an overeater. I never talked about many of these things to a therapist before. And I just really do think it made a difference, you know, being able to do that with someone who was also in secular overeaters, or not, she wasn't secular, but who was in Overeaters Anonymous. Anyway, pass.
Thanks. Tam.
Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive overeater. I love this step. When I did my first fifth step, I had never really spoken to anyone about what was going on in my life. I've gotten better over the years, but telling someone, especially the things that I didn't want to tell anyone, was really freeing, you know, to say, I'm so scared to say this. And then after I say it, to be told, it's okay. You're okay. You're lovable. I mean, wow, that just gave me chills. Yeah, and I think for me, there's one thing about writing it down, but when I tell it to another person, it becomes so much more real. And it's almost like admitting it to someone else is admitting it to myself. And I really believe that 4 through 9 is how you get recovery in this program. That you have to do the work. And this is a big step towards doing that work. We had a meeting about this yesterday, and we read a passage from the OA 12 and 12 that talked about humility. And what I really love is in, I think it's the AA 12 and 12, the definition of humility is a clear understanding of who and what I am and what I might become. And that's really important to me too, because getting it out and sharing it with another person is how I start getting right-sized. For some people, that might be, you know, gaining self-worth. For me, it was about beating down my ego until I could get myself right-sized, because I'm also an alcoholic and I have much more of an alcoholic personality. But I really love this step, and I look forward to hearing what others have to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Tam. And I'll take a turn. The one that jumped out at me was the SOS, and I like what that says. It is statements from Secular Organization for Sobriety, or Save Ourselves. And one of the things that I have enjoyed a lot about secular OA is that I have a freedom that I did not feel I had in the traditional OA. And this step, SOS, says I admit to myself, and if I choose, to another person or persons, the exact nature of the negative, injurious aspects of my thinking and behavior. I explore the goodness within myself, the positive, courageous, and compassionate. So this is a little bit of a flip from what I just heard. But one of the things I really like about this program is that it lets us do that. It lets us choose what will work the best for each of us as individuals. I did not feel that freedom in traditional OA, but that might be just me. And I'm tickled to be in the secular.
Hi, everybody. I'm Van. I'm a compulsive overeater and an alcoholic and a drug addict and a hoarder and a whole long list of other stuff, as I'm discovering. And I started on this journey for better mental health a little over 35 years ago in traditional AA. And thank you so much for the concept of eating the God sandwich and washing it down with the God Kool-Aid. That's the way it felt. And I did it for a while, but then it didn't work anymore. And I always miss the community of AA. And I'd try to go to meetings and I'd hear the God talk, and the hair would stand up on the back of my neck. But I sure like the people. I always loved the people. And now, secular overeaters, I don't feel any discomfort. This is my community. And I've gotten so much out of your shares, everybody, this morning. Thank you very much. Directly speaking to step five and the eight versions, my favorite is Serge Pringle. I consider it, for me, the best informed of all the different approaches. 35 years ago, I tried to do what AA said to do in the big book, and I read their 12 and 12, and I got nowhere. And I had a good sponsor. He found a questionnaire that reportedly came from a treatment center, and with direct questioning, I was able to do a decent step four with a lot of trepidation, but I wrote down as best I could. And then when it came time to do step five, I did it with my sponsor, and that was with even more trepidation, just outright fear. Like I said, I had a good sponsor. There was no judgment, criticism, whatever. And we got through it. And I did feel a lot better doing it the traditional way. So I still have this sense from my own experience that if you can do it the traditional way, it is beneficial. But if it's just too much, I would suggest the Serge Pringle way is the most gentle that I'm familiar with. I don't really know anything about the SOS version, but that sounds pretty good too. All the rest of them, to me, they fall a bit short in that they're still judgmental, which for me could lead to self-criticism. And at my current level of understanding, I got no place for that in my search for better mental health. Acceptance is the key. And so I filter everything through the psychological model of internal family systems, and Serge Pringle just fits right in with that. So I think that's really all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Van. I think it's time to move on to the insights. We will now take turns reading different authors' insights on step five and then share our thoughts. Again, please raise your hand when you're ready for a turn and say pass when you're done. I'll go ahead and start. Beth H., when we do step five with the right person, we will realize many of the things we have felt so shameful about and hidden are actually fairly common in other people too. Martha Cleveland and Arliss G., a guide's non-judgmental feedback helps us break through denial and decreases the probability of self-deception and helps us to examine our values and explore new options. Finally, we listen to our guides, really hear what they say, and then have to confront our mental backtalk, which constantly contradicts the good things others tell us about ourselves. Pass. Jenny.
Stephanie Covington, much of the power of the fifth step lies in our interaction with another person. The results are clear and immediate. We tell our story and see the compassion in another person's face. In the telling, our stories become real. They're more true, having been spoken aloud to a caring listener. Jeffrey Munn, The person you read these lists to will likely be one of the first people in your life to ever get a full picture of your darker side. It's possible you've told a few people different bits of your story, but having someone who knows everything can feel very liberating. You are no longer alone with the knowledge of your resentments, fears, and harms. Pass.
Thank you, Jenny. Tam?
OA 12 and 12. We are not looking for someone to tell us how to solve our problem. What we need is a loving witness, someone who can keep our confidences and listen without judging us or seeking to fix us. That's from the OA 12 and 12, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, second edition, 2018.
I can just finish it up.
Okay, Search Pringle. Thanks.
Talking to another person means that you need to find words to communicate the experience more clearly than when you are on your own. Your friend asks you questions, which also helps you find ways to capture better what is happening. As a result, you gain more understanding of your behavior pattern.
Okay, it's time for sharing on that.
And everyone, if you go to the links in the chat, you can go to page 15 and you can look at these again if that helps you when you talk about them.
Okay, I'm still AJ. I'm a compulsive eater in North Carolina or wherever I am. And I want to comment. After we got through reading, I went back to the OA 12 and 12. And I found, surprisingly, given what I shared earlier, a sense of peace about returning. It's like returning to the Bible. I was reared Presbyterian and learned a lot about the Bible as I was growing up. And while I dismiss now for me personally the concept of God, He, for a higher power, I find great solace in some of the quotations from the Bible, which I will hear quite often, almost accidentally. And hearing this quote from the 12 and 12, which was sort of my Bible when I was in traditional OA, gave me a sense of peace. I don't want to dismiss my earlier learnings in this program. I've been here for a long time, almost half my life, and I'm 84. And there is something about returning to the original language of the big book and the original language of the 12 and 12 that, as I said, gives me a sense of peace, of continuity, of what's been going on with others who have struggled with my problem for decades. So I loved hearing that again this morning. And the thing about loving witness, I used to read science fiction a lot. I still do from time to time, but it was my favorite source of fictional reading for a long time. And there was one book that talked about a fair witness. And I really love that idea, a loving, fair witness who's not going to judge me, but bring to me thoughts and feelings about what has worked for that person. So I'll stop there. Would someone else like to share on these insights? Jenny.
I like all of them. But I guess the first one from Beth H., when it was just a simple sentence about, you know, when we do step five with the right person, we will realize many of the things we have felt so shameful about and are hidden are actually fairly common in other people too. And I think that that was kind of amazing for me because I kept hold of a lot of things that I felt ashamed of. And when I told them to my sponsor, you know, she opened up about some, you know, things of her in her past that were similar. And it really did help me just be like, oh, you know, this is part of the life experience or whatever, you know. And when one of the things they talk about in 12 step is about the thing about being terminally unique, you know, where I thought, oh, this is an experience that only happened to me, but to know that it's happened to other people just made such a big difference. And I also feel like this is one of the ways to point out for me the difference between talking to like a therapist and a sponsor is that most of the time, therapists are not going to tell you stories from their own personal life. You know what I mean? So there's like a distance that's professional distance that's there. But because you're talking to another person, who's not a professional, they can share what's gone on in their life. So I found that to be extremely valuable when I was doing my fifth step. And the OA 12 and 12, I'll have to say I was on the committee to put together quotes. It was digging pretty deep to find something that was not triggering. And the quote that's in here from them is one of the few things or what I found that I found to be helpful. I do really love that idea about having a loving witness, and that's definitely what my sponsor was. So I think I'll pass for now.
Tam.
Hi, I'm Tam. I'm a compulsive eater. Basically, everything I said in the first part is the same as what the insights were. So, but I guess what I have new that I could share is that, I think a lot of us use the workbooks or forms to do our fourth step. And in the fifth step, for me, part of sharing it with my sponsor or another person is about becoming clear about my role. Because sometimes it can be really difficult to see what my part is in something. And so for me, when I do a fifth step, it's typically about continuing that form and filling out those other columns about what's my part. And I also start doing some of the future step work of, if it jumps out at me that here is something, here's a particular trait that is repeated over and over and over again. Again, part of reading it and talking about it with another person means that I can see that repetition or have someone point out that repetition to me. And that helps me to get ready for step six, where I start identifying those traits that I need to work on. And so that's another piece of working step five that I haven't yet heard discussed. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Tam. Okay, Holly.
Hi, I'm Holly. These details about step five, for me, this is kind of, like I said, I haven't done step five myself, but I feel like part of step five I have done with my sponsor, just not being on that step. So leading up to it. Anyway, I think the benefit to step five, if I look at it differently, like through some of these different approaches, is when you say it out loud, get it like a brain dump, like get it all out of your own head where you've been carrying it secretly for all of these years. So a brain dump, get it all out, get it all on paper, get it out with your voice, and then it's not a secret anymore. So once the secret's out, you can kind of let the other person or the sponsor in my case normalize it for you, which kind of works to decrease shame. Like you're carrying it so heavily on yourself for so many years in private, a secret. It's not fun when it's not a secret anymore. So for me, letting the sponsor or even just my sister or whoever it is that you're talking to and really being honest and dumping it all out there, their reaction can help, I think, to normalize it all, decrease your shame and blame on yourself. And for my sponsor anyway, to even get some tips on moving forward, like now that it's out, what do you do with it? So that's all I'll say. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Holly. And I'm going to double dip on this one. I'm AJ, a compulsive eater. And I went back and read under the versions, the traditional, and it comes to saying to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And I remember years and years ago doing step four inventory that I used to manage a small store, and in doing an inventory, we would inventory what was on the shelves and what was missing. And in doing the traditional step four, I always felt like I had to always talk about only only my defects, what's missing, and not my assets, what's there on the shelf. And in doing step five, it would help me a lot to be able to not just talk about the exact nature of my wrongs, but also to talk about the things that I do that are positive, or my character assets. And I was reared not to do that. That's bragging. That's, boasting. But it's good for me to recognize, I have a good sense of humor and I'm kind and I try to help other people, blah, blah, blah. And if I can balance the exact nature of my wrongs with things that I know about myself that are positive, it really helps me. I have had the feeling the many years that I did the traditional OA that I always had to talk about what was wrong. And that negativity did not work for me. I did do the 12, the workbook. I did the whole workbook with my sponsor. It took almost a year because I did it my way. And I did like one a day. And I came away with a feeling of being cleansed. And I really felt it helped me a lot. But I also, during that process, really did talk about my assets as well as my deficiencies. Thanks. Okay, Van.
Thanks, AJ. I liked these insights quite a bit more than I liked their versions of step five. I thought every one of them was, for the most part, right on. And, in a word, insightful. Well, with that said, I still have this reservation of the incompleteness, but that's really just my issue. That I didn't want to leave with the impression that I felt like it was a waste of time to work step five in any of the ways that were suggested. Because I really do believe any way you can do it is beneficial. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Van. Okay, Jenny.
I just kind of going off of what you were talking about, AJ, thinking about, the positive things, because when we move on to step six, where classically it's like looking at the defects of character, which none of us really like. I really do prefer character defaults, but a lot of those things, there's the flip side. I mean, if one of my, character defaults is to be bossy, it's also that I have, some leadership skills. And so those kinds of things, you can start identifying like earlier, like when we're talking about step four and step five, like you can start looking at behavior patterns and being able to see like, okay, maybe like I've been super controlling and bossy about certain things in my life. And you can, work that out with your sponsor, talk about, those things. But then also, if you're also looking about like, what's the flip side of that? What's the other side of that issue? Because a lot of these things we develop in order to get along in life, they were taking care of us for a long time. But I do feel like there's the light and the dark, or the positive and the negative for all of these things. And so I kind of appreciated what you were saying. I mean, it is kind of jumping ahead into steps six and seven. But I mean, all these things are linked. I mean, you can't really jump ahead a step until you've done the one before. So I do feel like all these things lead up. So anyway, when I first did step five, I'm like, fine, you just admit it. You just admit what you did and then you just move on. But I actually feel like this has been one of the most valuable steps for me. But the way I did it is that I was doing my step four and step five at the same time. Like I would focus on a particular relationship and talk about all my step four issues around it. but I would be telling my sponsor at the same time. So I would be doing my step five, and then I would focus on another person in another relationship, and then do a step four about that person, and then do the step five. So it always felt very intermingled. And so by the time, you know, I felt like I officially finished step four, well, I'd also officially finished step five, and it didn't seem like a big deal to me, but it really was just having that, you know, loving witness. That compassion was just a major thing. I think it's, for me, one of the strongest steps that we have. And for me, it brought on a lot of cleansing and relief. Pass.
Go ahead, Vicky.
Sure. Sorry, late to the party in a way, but I just wanted to follow up what I heard. Is it Jenny saying that compassionate witness piece is the thing that really I've heard from a number of you here today that really make step five make sense, right? That idea and how critical it is to reframe the defects of character into a way that, you know, captures the positives and the negatives, and that understanding that these are protective defense mechanisms that we've developed over time that served us but now no longer serve us, and acknowledging that, recognizing that, and then being able to share it with a compassionate witness without judgment. Anyway, you guys pulled that all together for me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Vicky. And we're out of time. I want to add one more thing. I'm still AJ. I heard in a meeting someone say, instead of defects of character, my character traits. And there are positive traits and negative traits. And I want to keep reminding myself of that. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for participating in this group. Together, we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past Alternative Step discussion meetings, you can check the Alternative 12 Steps page on secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.